Good morning.
Good morning
and welcome to worship this morning. I welcome if you join us as a visitor for our service this morning. Welcome to you all. And we have a call to worship on the screen now. We have a new video projector, so I think you'll see quite a difference in the quality. We don't actually yet have a bracket to put it up, but we will be finding one. So next time it will be up, hopefully, in its correct position. So let's come to God in worship. We meet here with every doubter and every questioner. We meet here with those who celebrate and those who mourn. We meet here with those who wait and those who long. We meet here with the lost and the lonely. We meet here with the rich and the poor. We meet here with all God's people, ready to worship just as we are. So let's praise God's name as we sing hymn 485, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind.
Thank you.
I'll not ask you to come down to the front, so you can relax. You're okay. Sometimes it's nice to be alone, and we just sang the line there, "O still, small voice of calm." And sometimes it's nice to have moments of calmness and peace and solitude. And some people like to have solitude if you're stuck on a desert island. Maybe some people would be quite happy about that because you'll get plenty of peace and quiet there. There are people who go to Antarctica, the British Antarctica expedition, which involves often being on your own or certainly being very isolated. It's hard to think of a more isolated part of the planet. And I was listening to a lady on the radio being interviewed about her experiences of working with the British Antarctica expedition, where you are on your own or maybe just with one other person for weeks at a time in very difficult conditions. And of course, I suppose if you're on the International Space Station, you'll feel pretty much alone, a bit cut off, to say the least, from the rest of the world. And then some people choose to do it in terms of their religious faith. There can be those who belong to holy orders or live in a monastery where there are long periods of silence and solitude, and people feel closer to God when it comes to that. And of course, Jesus himself experienced solitude. He experienced it for 40 days and 40 nights. We're now into the period of Lent. And the reason Lent is for that period is because Jesus was alone in the desert. But he chose to do that. He chose to experience temptation, to wrestle with the call of God, to reflect on the kind of mission that he was going to have. And he spent all this time fasting in the desert. But there are situations where people can be lonely and feel cut off against their will. And sadly, that can sometimes happen in schools, amongst young people, if children are bullied in any way, if they are made to feel apart, and they feel very lonely, they feel very cut off in those kinds of situations. And of course, for elderly people who are living on their own, there can come loneliness, and lack of contact with the outside world can be very difficult for people. Loneliness is a very serious situation to be in and very difficult for those who experience it. And it's been said as well that you don't actually have to be alone to feel alone. You can be feeling lonely in a crowded room. You can have lots and lots of people around you, but you can still feel lonely and cut off and feeling that nobody particularly cares about you. We're going to be coming to a time, a situation at the moment, where there may be people who will be feeling lonely, because we're going to be coming to what's going to be a very challenging time in our society because of the coronavirus situation. And for those who do feel cut off, for those who do feel lonely, not just with this situation, but in general, I think that the church has an important role to play in supporting people who do feel alone and who do feel cut off. And of course, if you've got a situation where people are not allowed to visit you, then that, of course, can be tricky. But fortunately, we are living in an age today where people can phone somebody up. Or if you have the technology where you can use FaceTime or Skype. And I can tell you that at the moment, if you go onto the church's Facebook page, this service is being streamed at the moment. So people all over the world can be watching me speaking just now. And I don't think we're going to zoom in on you singing, you'll be glad to know. So who knows, there might be quite a few people watching at the moment. So there are ways around it, there are ways of supporting people. But when Jesus talks about loving your neighbour, it's so important that we take that into account in the weeks and months ahead, that we look out for those who are in need, and particularly when it comes to practicalities, that we are there to help people, to love our neighbours, to come together as a community, and to offer Christian love in a time of crisis. So let's just come to God in prayer now. Father God, we thank you that there are times when people can enjoy solitude, quietness, being alone with you, reflecting on all sorts of things. But Lord, we also pray today for those who experience loneliness, who don't want to be on their own. And we pray that as a church throughout the land and the world, we might indeed seek to love our neighbours and reach out in love and in compassion to all those who are in need in any way. For we ask it, Lord, in the name of Christ, our loving Saviour and Lord. Amen. Now we're going to sing our next song, which is It's Me, O Lord, Standing in the Need of Prayer. Let's come to God in prayer now. Let us pray. Loving and creative God, you come amongst us in the colours and in the beauty of creation. In the richness of the earth and in the joy of fellowship, we come to meet with you this day. In the faces of friends and of strangers, we greet you. You sweep in among us in the life and energy that gives rhythm to every single day. You move among us through the power of your Holy Spirit. You speak to us words of challenge and comfort that give purpose to our days, whispering encouragement, calling us to love one another. Lord, at this time of Lent, lead us deeper into Lent, that we might seek to reflect on what following you is truly all about, that we might use this time for reflection and silence and prayer and repentance for the ways in which we've let you down. Lord, forgive us for all of our failings. When we live by law, by legalism and judgment, over and above the freedom of faith, forgive us, God. When we take for granted the many daily blessings that we enjoy in our lives, forgive us, Lord. When we fail to value and treat every single person with justice and fairness, forgive us, Lord. When we use words that wound those we love the most, when we belittle others and consider ourselves superior, Lord, forgive us. Thanks be to you, God, for your immeasurable mercy, available to each and every one of us, loving, transforming, and forgiving us. Thanks be to you, O God, for the death of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and his rising again, overcoming sin and defeating the powers of darkness and evil and death. Lord, we rejoice in the good news of our faith, and it is in the name of Jesus that we ask all of these things and say the words that he himself taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, just to mention one of the two intimations this morning, and firstly, just to say a few words about the present situation with the coronavirus. As you'll see today, we are seeking to follow all the guidelines that have been set down by NHS Scotland and the Church of Scotland, and obviously would encourage you to wash your hands, to use the facilities in the church, and we also have hand sanitizers available as well. And we're not taking the offering in the usual way today. It was collected at the door. If you missed it, then you can give your offering on the way out as you leave. We have a Kirk Session meeting this coming Thursday, so we'll be reviewing the situation when it comes to teas and coffees. Again, we're following advice. It's still acceptable to have teas and coffees under certain conditions, but we're aware that may well change. And indeed, we're also aware that worship itself may eventually have to stop for a time. That's certainly not the case at the moment. We're still being advised that worship can and should continue, particularly to provide fellowship at a time like this. But again, we have to be prepared for every eventuality. And perhaps one of the most important things we do at a time like this is to pray and to hold one another in prayer during this period. Also, to say that after the service today, we have our Super Sunday lunch. It'll just be bread and soup. We won't be having any sandwiches today. Again, we're trying to be as careful as possible. And if you wish to give a donation to the Church of Scotland HIV/AIDS Project, then you can do so in the church hall. And finally, I have a postcard today from Margaret Carmichael, who was enjoying recently a trip to Abu Dhabi and Dubai. And I don't know, did you climb the Burj Khalifa, Margaret? Did you go to the top? No. Fair enough. Anyway, you had a lovely time, I'm told, although it was extremely hot and very crowded. But nevertheless, you still had a super time. So thank you very much for your postcard of the tallest building in the world. Well, these are all the intimations. We turn to God's word now, and I have no idea who's doing the reading this morning. It's Bruce. Bruce Swanson is going to read for us today.
The reading today is from Exodus chapter 33. Verses 7 to 11, and that's on page 92. And there's also chapter 34, verses 1 to 3, and that's on page 93. And it's entitled The Tent of Meeting. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the Tent of Meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance, while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp. But his young assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. The Lord said to Moses, chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Be ready in the morning, and then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there at the top of the mountain. No one is to come with you, or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and herds may graze in front of the mountain. The next reading is from Luke chapter 6. And that's verses 1 to 20. And that's on page 1033. And it's entitled, Lord of the Sabbath. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and his disciples began to pick some ears of corn, rub them in their hands, and eat the grain. Some of the Pharisees asked, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Jesus answered them, Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, get up and stand in front of everyone. So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? He looked around at them all and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But they were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, who he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. May the Lord add his blessing to these readings from his holy word, and to his name be all praise and glory. Amen.
We sing again. We're going to sing the hymn, The Lord's My Shepherd, and it's on video. It's a modern version of the hymn, The Lord's My Shepherd.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'm not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you. And I will trust in you. He anoints.
Let us pray. Father God, as we hear your teaching, may our ears be attentive and our hearts be receptive, and may your peace be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen. So what does Sunday mean to you? Is Sunday the day when the shopping gets done? Maybe have a fancy meal? Or is it getting the washing done, planning for the week ahead? How about Sabbath? Is that synonymous with Sunday, or does it mean something a bit different? In the book of Genesis, we're told that God created the world in 6 days, and that on the seventh he looked around, saw that it was good, and that only then did he rest. So the word Sabbath, or Shabbat in Hebrew, literally means sanctified or set apart as holy. And for strict Orthodox Jewish observance, the Sabbath means a day when there is no work of any description undertaken. And that does include switching on a light or even the oven. I don't know if you've noticed it, but some modern ovens actually have a Sabbath setting, so you can have your meal sitting in the oven ready to cook 24 hours before you need it. There are some Christian denominations which will also take a hardline approach to Sunday observance, although that has relaxed a lot in more recent years. However, I'm sure that many of you will remember when shops weren't open on a Sunday and mowing the grass or hanging out the washing was certainly frowned upon. In first century Galilee, observance of the Sabbath would be very strict. So for Jesus and his disciples to be caught harvesting the grain was an infringement of strict Sabbath law. But Jesus is practical. Is he a devout Jew? Well, absolutely. The Sabbath was important to him. We're told he went to Nazareth. He visited the synagogue there, as was his habit. And there are many scenes of him in synagogues, leading worship, as well as preaching on hillsides and plains. Jesus was, without doubt, a devout Jew. He was devout, but he was practical. If you're hungry, then you need to eat. The disciples weren't working. They were fulfilling their needs. When he was teaching in the synagogue and asked to heal the man, he didn't tell him to go away and come back tomorrow. No, he saw a need and he fulfilled it. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is there to bring people closer to God, not to drive them further away. We're now in the season of Lent, and we can observe this pattern within Lent as well. How many people have told you that they've given up something for Lent? Some people it might be chocolate, some snacking in general. I know of a few brave souls who've given up caffeine. I think that would be a stretch too far for me. The question is this: what has giving up these things done for your relationship with God? How have you used your time? Have you read your Bible more frequently? Have you prayed more? Lent is a season where we're denying ourselves something, so that we are not focusing on our physical needs, but on our spiritual needs. If we're giving up unhealthy practices or denying our bodies something which we usually love, then we need to do it in the right way and for the right reasons. To deny ourselves something and use the time or the money, deny ourselves something and use it as a weight loss plan is not correct Lenten observance. If we deny ourselves something and use the time or money we have saved to buy a Bible study book or spend more time in prayer to deepen our relationship with God, then the byproduct may be that we lose weight, but that should not be the intention of the Lenten observance. In the same way, if Sabbath is being used as an excuse to beat people over the head with our piety, then we're not acting in loving ways. Remember that Jesus asked the Pharisees and the teachers of the law whether the Sabbath was for doing good or for doing evil, whether for saving lives or for destroying them. They had been seeking to trap Jesus, and they failed because they could not argue with the logic which Jesus demonstrated. To not heal the man would be evil and wrong, so he had no choice but to heal him, since it was within his capability. Nowadays, we wouldn't expect our hospitals to close on a Sunday with no staff to man them. It would create a public outcry. And my mum used to say, if God had seen fit to give us Sunday as the only day in a week when the weather was conducive to hanging out or washing, who was she to throw it back in his face? The same could be said for farmers as they harvest the crops or tend their animals. To allow people to suffer or to neglect our own needs to the point of losing our focus on the goodness and provision of God is not the purpose of either Lent or the Sabbath. So where should our focus be? Both Jesus and Moses gave us good examples of how to focus on God. They withdrew from the general population. They set themselves apart from others. For Jesus, it was a mountainside, and for Moses, it was a tent in the desert. There is something really special about taking ourselves out into nature and experiencing the greatness of God. When you stand on the top of a mountain and look at the vastness of the horizon stretching out into the distance, it fills you with an experience of awe and wonder. For me, once I've caught my breath having climbed the mountain, and I did climb that one, that's in New Hampshire, I can't actually remember the name of the mountain at the moment, but magnificent views from the top. But once I've caught my breath, which took a while, I love just breathing in the fresh air and being reminded again that our God is truly a great big God. The evidence of the glories of his creation return me to worship of the Creator. I feel small, insignificant, but also loved and treasured. You go on a camping trip, smell the wood smoke from the fire, or hear the animals scampering about overnight through the thin tent. Even being buffeted by a rainstorm when you're protected by such a thin layer returns you to the center of creation and calls for you to respond to that Creator. These are the places where both Jesus and Moses retreated to speak with God. For Moses, we're told it was to plead for the Israelites, to ask for God's continued care for a people who'd turned their back on him and created idols at the very first opportunity, an appeal to God to withhold his wrath. And when Jesus had been challenged, he retreated to a place where he could commune with God on his own. When Moses had lost his temper at the wavering faith of the Israelites, he withdrew to a quiet place to converse with God. We are given slightly more information in Exodus as to the nature of the conversation which Moses had with God. We are rarely permitted into the private prayer life of Jesus. But after they'd retreated, after they had set aside time to consult with God, both Moses and Jesus made decisive actions. For Moses, he recarved the stone tablets, which he had broken in anger when he came down from Mount Sinai. God had been so angry with the people, he'd refused to have anything to do with them. But he still cared about them. He still wanted to give them guidance. He still wanted to remind them that even although they had retreated from him, even although they had angered him with their defiance, he still loved them. And he still wanted what was best for them. Jesus had been challenged over his authority to heal, challenged over his authority over the Sabbath. He was being confronted as to whether what he was doing was right. So he spoke to his Heavenly Father and asked for guidance. And after that conversation, he chose his 12 apostles, the ones who would be closest to him. He gathered a support network around himself. And let's face it, we all need dependable people who we can rely on to have our back. Jesus had a problem. He prayed to God, and he came up with a way to deal with the issue. So once he had his posse around him, he then went out to preach. In the Gospel of Luke, it is the Sermon on the Plain which immediately follows this passage which we read this morning. A sermon which was once again challenging the social norms. Taking time out from being busy all the time, turning to God with our issues and problems, is a lesson which we can all learn from. Not everyone is comfortable with the idea of climbing a mountain or going on a camping trip. For some, maybe sitting in a church building, whilst for others, it may even be visiting a spa or finding a quiet spot in the corner of a cosy pub with a glass of wine. Having me time is a very popular concept these days. The idea that we need time to focus on our needs, on our wants. Do what is good for us. Take a moment to be selfish. Well, I wouldn't deny anyone the need for a well-earned spa break or some downtime with a gin or a hot chocolate. But maybe what we should be focusing on is not so much our wants, our needs, our desires, but on turning to our Creator God and asking him what he wants for us. A time for bringing our concerns before God and asking for his guidance. With the continuing threat of the coronavirus hanging over our heads, we may well find ourselves in a situation of having more downtime than we had anticipated over the coming weeks. Aberdeen University has decided to stop having face-to-face teaching for students. So for me, the rest of the semester will be conducted online. What will we do with enforced time away from centres of population? Whether we're self-isolating due to feeling unwell or just maintaining a distance from others, how will we spend that time? Personally, I have thought about catching up with university work, cleaning the house maybe, some bits of DIY, trying to get through those jobs which keep getting put off. So assuming that you're not seriously unwell, what will you do? Well, how about we take some time to renew and restore our relationship with God? Spend a few minutes in Bible study and prayer. Reconnect with God. We so often push him to the sidelines, struggling to fit him into our busy schedules. While we're in that quiet place, re-establish a relationship with God. And we need to raise up to him the people who are struggling, either with fear from the threat of the outbreak, or in hospital in need of intensive nursing and medical care. Maybe we need to think about the people who are immunocompromised. We're thinking this morning about people with HIV and AIDS and making a collection for them in the super soup afterwards. As well as many other conditions which will affect their ability to fight off this infection. I've been a little bit guilty of complacency. I am unlikely, if infected, to be seriously ill. At worst, I might be a bit inconvenienced. But let's spare a thought for those who are already frail. Those who have many other illnesses to avoid, and this is just one more on the list. But we don't have a natural immunity to it, so it does pose a much more dangerous threat. Pray for those in the front line, the doctors, the nurses, the ambulance staff, the porters and the cleaners, and they're putting themselves at risk of contracting infection simply by doing their job. Martin Luther was a 15th century church reformer who faced with the threat of plague in Europe. And these are his words, how he responded. I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. Then I shall fumigate, help purify the air, administer medicine and take it. I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed, in order not to become contaminated, and thus perchance inflict and pollute others, and so cause their death as a result of my negligence. If God should wish to take me, he will surely find me, and I have done what he has expected of me, and so I am not responsible for either my own death or the death of others. If my neighbour needs me, however, I shall not avoid place or person, but will go freely as stated above. See, this is such a God-fearing faith, because it is neither brash nor foolhardy and does not tempt God. So this is how we observe Sabbath. Not through religiously sticking to a list of rules as long as your arm, but by taking time out to bathe in God's presence. When we prayerfully lift our worries and concerns to God and then give him the time to answer us, then that is when things happen, and that is when we find solutions. This is how we follow the fast of Lent, by giving up the things which distract us from God, whether it's chocolate, electronics, smoking, drinking, whatever it is you've given up for Lent. Be sure that you've also picked up a new habit of time with God. Our God is a God of miracles. He's a God who can move mountains when we show a mustard seed of faith. So don't focus on the rules and regulations, the do's and do nots. Focus on the people. Focus on what is the loving response. When you see a need, fulfill it. But do it because it shares God's love. When the world becomes busy, when the questions become overwhelming, then take time. Relax. Chill. Have that glass of wine, massage, hill walk, cycle ride, or whatever it is you do to escape the rat race. But don't make it me time. Make it God time. Amen. We're going to sing again, and it's How Lovely on the Mountains.
Thank you.
Let us pray. The Lord is good. His love is eternal, and his faithfulness lasts forever. Lord, we thank you for these words of the psalmist. But when he says that your faithfulness lasts forever, can we be sure? Are you a good God, a loving God, a faithful God? In the face of human loss, in the face of illness, in the face of death itself. Lord, sometimes, like the psalmist, we want to cry out, why? We want to ask you, where is your love, your goodness, your faithfulness when we suffer, when life seems meaningless and bleak, when we face a time in humanity when everything is upside down and deeply uncertain? And yet, draw us, Lord, to these words of the psalmist, that despite times of pain, despite times of uncertainty, despite times of grief, help us to imprint these words on our hearts. The Lord is good. His love is eternal. His faithfulness lasts forever. So in silence now, Lord, we pray that your love, your eternal faithfulness, might be there for all who are in need at this time, for those who are ill, for those who are grieving, and for those who cry out, why? Heavenly Father, on this Super Sunday in church, we pray for those living with HIV. We pray for families and wider communities coping with this illness. Especially in developing nations, we pray for those who have been affected by HIV. And we thank you for the church's program as it seeks to raise awareness and bring resources to bear for those who are in need. Lord, we are also deeply conscious today of a new crisis facing humanity. Lord Christ, you travelled through towns and villages seeking to cure every disease and illness. So, Lord, come to us now in the midst of the global spread of COVID-19 that we might experience your healing love. Be with families of those who are sick and those who've lost loved ones. As they worry and grieve, help them, Lord, we pray. Be with the doctors and nurses, those on the front line, seeking to help and heal those affected, but who put their own lives at risk in the process. Be, Lord, with researchers and all medical professionals seeking to find a vaccine to overcome this virus. And be with the leaders of all nations, Lord, that they might act with true concern for the well-being of their people. Help them to see this as a global crisis, that they cannot only seek to protect their own nation, but all who are affected. Lord, grant to us your guidance, your strength, your love, with all that faces us in these coming weeks. In place of our anxiety, give us a sense of your peace. And so, God of goodness, God of love, God whose faithfulness lasts forever, hear these our prayers, brought to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Lord. And hear us now, Lord, as we ask a blessing on our offering today, that we might take the gifts that we have given, to use them wisely and well to advance your kingdom. And bless the offering, too, that we make for the church's HIV project. For we bring these our prayers to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. We close our service by singing hymn 129, "The Lord is King, Lift Up Your Voice." Now go in peace, and may the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and those you love this day and forevermore.